Okay, we are in, what is this here, chapter 41, new chapter of Counsels for the Church, obviously. We've been here a long time. I have no clue as to how much longer we're going to be in here either. I should check, but chapter 41, page 28, if you actually have the book, and it's titled Flesh Foods, something I gave up even as a Sunday keeper. And I think that's one of the reasons I was able to come to a realization of keeping Sabbath. Because I remember I quit eating meat long before we moved away from the Chicago area. And then when we got away from the Chicago area and the Lord refused to allow me to get work for those 16 months. Well, actually, it was for 6 months. And then it was another 16 months later because I did get a job at a factory that made doors, and but they had no union, and I don't do unions anyway. I should have stayed there, but they had problems, and I didn't want to be part of it. Lifetime Doors, that's what it was. And I wasn't there a week, and they offered me maintenance, the head of maintenance. And I thought that was odd. I didn't want to mess with three-phase electric because that'd kill you. And I don't know how to mess with it either. So, but they. About 6 months after moving away from the Chicago area, you know, I was out of work, and we found out the truth about the Sabbath. No, I gave up pork and steak. It was chicken. Yeah, that's right. You're right. I kept eating chicken and fish for a while. You know, I didn't do the turkey because it was always had the dark meat kind of a thing. But then pretty quickly, I gave up all the meat. You know, I kind of weaned myself off of it. I mean, the beef was easy because I loved bloody beef, you know, the rare thing. But as soon as I found out what it said in a word about the blood, and then I went to that kosher market that I talked about so many times before, it's like, oh, man, when you finally paid through the nose just to get that piece of meat on your plate, it tasted like you were just chomping down on your shoe. You know, seasoned the daylights out of it was useless. Gray meat, it was like... It just tasted awful, so I just said, it's not worth it. And I always liked chicken, so, but then who doesn't, right? But, yeah, I gave up that chicken. I don't know how long after that. But now, if it's got a face, I don't eat it, period. I know there's some plants out there that have faces, but, you know, and bugs. Well, all the bugs have faces, but I'm talking about the moth that gives its makes it look like it's an owl. I think that's so neat the way the Lord does that. But anyway, why don't we dive into this? Again, page 228. It says, God gave our first parents the food he designed that the race should eat. It was contrary to his plan to have the life of any creature taken. There was to be no death in Eden. The fruit of the trees in the garden was the food man's wants required. God gave no permission to eat animal food until after the flood. And this is something that, even as a meat eater, I kind of understood it. That's why, maybe that's why it became easy for me to give it up. Because even as a little kid, I remember this. Mom, why are we drinking the milk of a cow? I'm not a cow, Ma. You know, I never liked milk unless it was on my cereal. and then, of course, evaporated down and frozen to where it's called ice cream. Then I'll eat it, yeah, when I was a kid. But yeah, I couldn't understand that. And then someone says, well, you need the meat. And even as a child, I thought, well, that seems a little odd because, like many of you know, after the age of 12, I'd already read every encyclopedia I can get my hands on. It will get no video games back then, and I was a question monster. But people telling me that you had to have the milk for strong bones, or you had to eat meat to grow large and all this other stuff, and you have strong bones, you need that protein. And I says, well, that's odd. I've never once seen a giraffe or a rhino or an elephant, you know, chomping down on any steak. You know, they eat greens, you know. So I knew when they would say that stuff, it really, you know, they obviously had no clue. And that also made it easier for me later in life when I started doing scriptural study and I started hearing some preachers talk about the gap theory that you find in the Scofield Reference Bible about the seven-year trib that doesn't exist. That's why they call it a gap theory. They can't really figure it out. And I always thought, well, this kind of reminds me of the people that say you need to eat meat to get strong bones, you know, because they really don't know what they're talking about, and they're trying to convince me by their own lack of understanding. And to me, that made no sense, and so it was easy to walk away from it. But anyway, she goes on to say that everything that had been destroyed upon which man could subsist, you know, after the flood, she means. And therefore the Lord in their necessity gave Noah permission to eat of the clean animals which he had taken with him into the ark. But animal food was not the most healthful article of food for man. After the flood, the people ate largely of animal food. God saw that the ways of man were corrupt and that he was disposed to exalt himself proudly against his creator and to follow the inclinations of his own heart. And see, this is one of the reasons I did the video I did this morning, or afternoon, actually. It's the blog entry of today, and if you read the blog entry, I just got a little thing. Click here to watch the video. But that I didn't make that video. I'm just incorporating it into the one I already made, which I'll post tomorrow night or Sunday or something. But when I look at the universe and I look at the expanse, and again, that's just a postage stamp section of the universe where they put the Hubble telescope on it for 11 straight minutes because they had downtime, and then they got all the maintenance done a little sooner than they anticipated, and so they figured, hey, let's just point it there, leave it there, because no one's been scheduled to use it, and so they just, you know, because they figured it would take a lot longer to do the maintenance. The only reason I noticed, because like I said so many times before, you know, when I used to go shopping with Fran, for food, and I still do this to this day. If she goes shopping, I'll go right over to the magazines and pick up Science Digest or what was the other one? Mechanical Digest. Oh, no, wait. I don't know, the science magazines. You know, they're just, because I like reading about the new inventions and some of the amazing things that they've done with this, because I've always gotten into technology even as a kid. And that's why I know the story behind that postage stamp section where they had to leave the lens open for so long. But when I look at that and I think of how stupid mankind is when they exalt. If you think about it, just like let's just say you're in the International Space Station, you know, floating above a round world, by the way. Because somebody, I just put it on the Flat Earth page, too. I got a page on my website exposing that Flat Earth theology that there's just like, I think, 26, 27 different sections proving that atheists invented the idea to make Christians look idiotic. But I just put another one up there in regards to some, I can't remember what it was. But anyway, you're up there and you're looking down and you can't see mankind. You might see a little bit of a remnant of mankind, especially when the sun starts to set. Like, let's say you're orbiting over the planet at a certain time and it's dark and you can see the lights of the cities. But mankind, no, they're just too minuscule and tiny and puny to even, unless you had a telescope in the International Space Station. But they still exalt themselves above the Creator. And that's why I think it is so important to look up. Even if you don't have a telescope, just come out my neck of the woods. Get away from the big city lights with all that light pollution and just look up. Go outside at night when it's dark, you know. Let's say it's been dark an hour. Go outside. Give your eyeballs 5, maybe 6, 7 minutes to get used to the dark. And then look up on a clear night. Absolutely, it has to be absolutely clear out. You'll see a cloud up there. It looks like a cloud, but it's not. It's one small section of one of the spirals, the seven spirals of the Milky Way galaxy that we are in. That's just one small spiral, a section of that spiral, and there are seven of them. And but then when you look at that video that I posted today, and you look at those 400,000, and they're all galaxies. Those aren't stars in that video. That's why I had to put that little sentence up there. These are all galaxies. Those are just galaxies. There's not even any, you know, well, stars are in the galaxies, but what they did is they used a computer to get them all jumped up and or bunched up together. And it's amazing how stupid mankind can actually be, especially when they think, like I mentioned in the video and on the blog entry, that for all eternity we're going to be able to go up there and share whatever the Lord would have us share with those people on all those other planets. And some people go, what, do you think there's people on other worlds? Well, yeah, there's two verses in the book of Hebrews that talk about the other worlds. But because most preachers won't mention that stuff, Well, then, most people don't know it. They don't know it's in their own Bibles. And so, to think we are only ones out of all, I mean, seriously, when you look up, how is it that this is the only planet? And this is how strange evolutionists and atheists have become, when you think about it, because with so much overwhelming evidence that we're not the only planet, let's say. Forget about the fact that there's even life on this planet. This is the only planet. And let's just say that, let's go back a billion years like they claim, even though the planet's proven many, many times by itself to be only 6,000 years old. Let's say it's a billion years old and we're back to the primordial ooze that they speak of, where there is life to some extent, let's say. You know, a couple of one-celled organisms start talking to each other, and before you know it, you got a platypus coming out of the mud. And so they look at this, and they can't contemplate, even when they look up and they see all the stars in the heavens, or walk into a forest and see all those trees or all the millions of leaves on the ground, and or the millions of blades of grass or the spiders or the flies. I mean, how is that even possible by chance? But I mean, just looking up the stars, how is that even possible by chance? So, continuing. Again, I'm going to reread. It says, God saw that the ways of man were corrupt, and that they have disposed, that he was disposed to exalt himself proudly against his creator and to follow the inclinations of his own heart. And he permitted that long-lived race to eat animal food to shorten their sinful lives. And that's even case in point to this day, if you think about it. And some people say, oh, those are biblical years. There's no way Noah lived that long. Methuselah, there's no way the longest living man, 969 years old. Really? Even though, you know, science has already proven that before the flood of Noah, we had a double atmosphere that would slow aging down considerably. One of the reasons Abraham's wife, Sarah, still looked good enough to where he was worried that somebody would kill him and take his wife, and she was in her 90s. Yeah, they keep missing them points. But yeah, there's way too much evidence to support the fact, especially with the research that Dr. Carl Baugh and the Creationist Museum in Glendale, Texas brought up. I love mentioning that stuff that he overwhelmingly proved using science and the book of Genesis, that creation was plausible. Absolutely, especially when they blasted that sonar cannon at that beaker of water and all of a sudden a ball of light appeared. Yeah, that angered a few evolutionists, but what are you going to do? So going on, she says, soon after the flood, the race began to rapidly decrease in size and in length of years because they're eating meat and it's no longer a double atmosphere. That great firmament that was floating above the planet that kept the atmosphere on a double density that allowed your oxygen corpuscles and white blood cells and red blood cells to be shaped like footballs instead of basketballs, and hence the reason you wouldn't wrinkle for a few hundred years because, you know, the blood can get to the capillaries it needs to now. Well, you start wrinkling some people in their 20s because the skin starts to shrink to some extent and the blood just can't get in those areas, and so it starts, the skin starts dying off in those areas, hence the wrinkles and the aging. And so the kidney ages, the lungs age, the spleen, everything ages. And so it wasn't just the meat, it was the fact that the atmosphere is no longer as heavy upon us. And I love the way they proved it, too, by finding that hammer before the flood, which had the football-shaped molecules in it, and by accident, when the guy went down in that diving bell, cut his hand down to the bone by mistake, and they wanted to drag him up, and he says, no, just let me finish these experiments. And then you could, even though he wanted to be down there for a few days, I guess, and he says, I'll just wrap it up tonight, and I'll change it, change the, you know, the gauze in the morning and stuff like that, and then you guys can pull me up. And not only was it a double atmosphere in that diving bell, they had a little bit more oxygen, a little bit more nitrogen, you know, that little stuff in there that they needed to prevent, first of all, it from crushing, and second of all, but allowing him to breathe easier. Yeah, because you crush oxygen, it's going to change the means by which you breathe it, I guess, I don't know. But when he went to change the dressing in the morning, when they woke him up and he took it off, and he goes, no need to pull me up. It's totally healed. He has a scar running right through the hand. all the way up and down, totally healed within 12 hours. And so when you think about that, about how difficult it would be to kill a man back then, you would literally have to beat them to the point of removing body parts. And the reason I bring that up is Cain must have really violently went to town on Abel to kill him. You know, first child ever born becomes a murderer. So, and then, you know, like they're hyperbolic or is it hyperbaric chambers where you can actually increase the healing properties. Jessica, that fell in the well in Texas many years ago, her whole leg was black and from gangrene because it was up, like she was doing the splits and that thing, and that she was in there like, I don't know, 20 hours. Hyperbaric, yeah. And so they were talking about amputating her leg all the way into the hip, and one of the guys in the audience happened to be a student of Baugh, I think, and he said he had a chamber over there. Put the girl in the chamber and let the body do what it was designed to do, but put it in a chamber that is similar to the atmosphere before the flood of Noah, and the only thing they had to amputate was her pinky toe. That was the only thing that didn't pink up, and that was the pinky. So all she lost was a pinky toe. So, again, it's not just the meat. It's also the atmosphere. So since she says, soon after the flood, the race began to rapidly decrease in size and length of years, and choosing man's food in Eden, the Lord showed what was the best diet. In the choice made for Israel, he taught the same lesson. He brought the Israelites out of Egypt and undertook their training, that they might be people of his own possession, or for his own possession. Through them, he desired to bless and teach the world. See, this is always what, and I bless the, you know, and I praise God, you know, for the blessing that she says stuff like this every now and then, because it always brings to mind the thought I always had, even as a young Christian. Could you imagine if the Jews would have actually done what they were created to do? And to this day, we would have a place to go where they would literally be a race of prophets or patriarchs or whatever. I could see the entire race, all the rabbis dressed in robes the whole time, and any time we needed some information, we would go to them for information, you know, spiritual information. Well, guess what? That's what we're going to be doing when we get home. You know, and all those other trillions and trillions of galaxies. We're going to, you know, I doubt seriously that we're all, any of us are going to be talking anything about salvation, because none of them took of the tree of evil, because the serpent wasn't in it to tempt him. And so everything's going to be okay in that respect. I'm thinking it's just going to be more or less about, you know, reflecting Christ, being ambassadors, obviously, for Christ and glorifying him in some way. But I can't even contemplate as to what he would have us preach and teach when we're up there, other than love, mainly just love. But I would think they're not going to have a promenade area either, but I just can't wait to go. Let's just put it that way. So anyway, again, through them, the Israelites, he desired to bless and teach the world. He provided them with the food best adapted for this purpose. Not flesh, but manna, the bread of heaven. It was only because of their discontent and their murmuring for the flesh pots of Egypt that animal food was granted them. And this only for a short time. Its use brought disease and death to thousands. Yet the restriction to a non-flesh diet was never heartily accepted. It's just like telling somebody, you're smoking what? Tobacco? I mean, that don't make any sense. And I smoke, too. I mean, I understand the addiction behind it, but when I was young. But for someone to start smoking in today's world, what were you thinking? Especially when they even admitted in a courtroom that they put carcinogens in the cigarettes designed to literally make them addictive so they can make money. And on top of that, when I was a kid, it was like 75 cents a pack. What is it, $7 a pack now? I remember some people tell me, well, man, it gets over a buck. That's it, I quit. They never did. Well, they quit breathing eventually because, you know, you keep smoking that garbage. But she goes on. She says, it continued to be the cause of discontent and murmuring, open or secret, and it was not made permanent. Upon their settlement in Canaan, the Israelites were permitted to eat the use of animal food, but under careful restrictions intended, which tended to lessen the evil results. And we all know that's Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. You know, and it says the use of swine's flesh was prohibited, as also of other animals and of birds and fish whose flesh was pronounced unclean. And a lot of people have a hard time understanding, well, why is it unclean? And let me just throw this out there. Would you eat a fly? No, of course not. Why? I mean, well, because it's disgusting what a fly eats and how it eats. Okay, so a lot of people said, no, I wouldn't eat a fly. And I says, well, why do you eat pigs? Because a pig is nothing but a huge fly. But then they kind of like shrug it off. Oh, it's America's new white meat. I remember those billboards when I was growing up. Oh, America's new white meat, you know. But here's something that I found out the hard way, because I was a pork eater. Oh, man, I used to eat a whole bag of pork rinds in one sitting, and I could literally go through two or three bags. And I didn't even use the hot sauce. I thought that just ruined the taste. And you had those little packets of hot sauce with them. Nah, you use it once in a while. Yeah, they never give you enough. It was like a tablespoon of it, and that was useless. So I never bothered. But, well, mostly never bothered. But I ended up getting what was called trichinosis. And to this day, I can't lift weights anymore. If I do, it will cause an issue with my right arm. And so I do just the toning exercises to this point, because I was bulked up pretty good when I was a young man. And, you know, the muscle T-shirts, the whole nine yards, the stupid flesh idiocy. And but one day, all of a sudden, I couldn't even lift a cup of coffee. Yeah, I was drinking coffee back then, too. And then I found out that I actually had worms in my elbow eating the muscle that connects the, I think it, he said it was the sinews that hold the muscle from the bicep to the elbow or something like that. He says part of it's gone. It's been eaten away. Oh, well, that's wonderful. And I says, why? He says, well, you eat pork, don't you? Because this guy was, he knew what unclean meant. And I go, yeah. He says, well, you know, you can't kill them worms that are in the pig. I says, worms in a pig? He goes, yeah. Don't you know how God created the pig? He was an SDA, I found out later. And turns out the white meat of America, you know, the pig, its flesh is just plain permeated with little worms. And he told me to do something, and I did it. And I went home and tried it, and it worked. And now you see it on YouTube where people, what they do is they just put a piece of pork chop, a small piece of, a slice of a pork chop in a, like a tray or something, and fill it with Coca-Cola. And the acid from the Coca-Cola kind of upsets the worms, and they'll just come right out of the pork. You can see them in there. And they go, oh, I'll just make sure I cook it nice and strong. That way they'll kill all them worms. Well, got some news for you. You can literally turn the pork chop into a charcoal briquette. You can't kill those worms. And I found this out the hard way. He says, yeah, just take the pork chop, put it in your oven at 500 degrees for 3 straight hours. Let it cool down, take it out, put it on your countertop with a white piece of typing paper, crack it open, and you're going to see what looks like mouse droppings. Take one of those mouse droppings and get it an X-Acto knife or something like that and pop it open. You'll find a live worm in there, because they wrap themselves in a cocoon to prevent the heat from getting to them. These worms, the acid in your stomach doesn't bother them. And if it does bother them, they'll just work their way right through the lining of your stomach, through the lining of your intestines, usually, work their way all throughout your body until they can find a place that's similar to the hide of a hog, which is the sinews that connect your muscles to your bones. And then they start chopping away. That's what happened to me. So I gave up the pork. That was the first thing I gave up, obviously. And then later on I found out about the red meat and all that, I guess. But those worms can show up just about anywhere. And if you really want to get grossed out, go on YouTube and look for the worms that are showing in people's brains, in their eyeballs. I mean, a guy goes blind in one of his eyes. He can't figure out why. And they bring him into the doctor's office. They slice it open. It's just filled with worms. And they're all from eating pork. You can't kill them, little guys. Hence the reason they're unclean. And on top of that, it's cancerous. I mean, these animals eat waste for a reason. It's just like shellfish, like, you know, lobsters, clams, oysters, and all them. And catfish and all. I mean, I used to love catfish. So all those things, they're bottom feeders. And they're bottom feeders for a reason. They clean up the waste that's on this planet. If those things weren't there, which they're slowly dying off, as the prophecy of Amos said they would, they're dying all over the place in biblical proportions. And if they weren't here, it wouldn't be an easy place to live. It would be kind of stinky, because they're the ones that eat up all the waste. And then humans eat them? So going as she says, of the meats permitted, the eating of the fat and the blood was strictly forbidden. Only such animals could be used for food as were in good condition. No creature that was torn, that had died of itself. Now, torn is obvious, and died of itself is obvious, because then it could have died of disease. I just got an article a couple of weeks ago where this one guy quit working at a plant. I think it was with the cows, the beef. And he was asking about, says, well, what do I do with this big cancerous tumor that's sticking out the side of this cow's body? He says, well, just cut around it, never mind everything else. I mean, the body's permeated with cancer cells, but they cut the tumor out, throw that in the garbage, and sell the meat to the people of this nation. And but the reason she says you don't want to eat, the Bible says not to eat an animal that's torn or dies of itself. Well, dies of itself, obviously, disease, so you don't want to eat something that's diseased. And second of all, torn means it. Ever heard the term died of cold blood? Somebody was killed in cold blood. Like all of a sudden you got shocked and someone blows you away or something like. Yeah, it's a scare, like your adrenaline's pumping through your whole system and then all of a sudden you're dead. That means your entire system's loaded with adrenaline. Well, you know where they kill cows today? Those cows know they're going to die. Those cows know what those humans are doing to them. They're very frightened when they come up to be killed, especially when they don't die right away. And again, YouTube's filled with those videos of how they kill the chickens and the cows, and some of these poor animals are tortured to death, which means they're torn. And their body's filled with chemicals, just natural chemicals from dying like that, that is just not good for the human body, and hence the reason for the cancer rate and all these other weird diseases. So she, again, says, no creature that was torn, that had died of itself, or from which the blood had not been carefully drained, could be used as food. By departing from the plan divinely appointed for their diet, the Israelites suffered a great loss. They desired a flesh diet, and they reaped its results. They did not reach God's ideal of character or fulfill his purpose. The Lord gave them their request, but sent leanness into their own or into their soul. Psalm 106:15. They valued the earthly above the spiritual, and the sacred preeminence, which was his purpose for them, they did not attain. And I could see how, like, even to this day, and I still do this, as many of you know, I don't eat like on Sabbath morning, because I don't want to be all foggy-brained when I'm preaching or teaching. And I don't eat anything in the morning until I'm done with my studies. Because of how, even though I'm vegan and everything I'm eating is, you know, good for me, it's still, you know, I guess it taxes the system to some extent, and it's difficult to focus at times. And by the way, if you want to get focused in a big hurry, let's say you've got to focus on something and you got to really concentrate, do some strenuous exercise for 10 straight minutes. You'd be surprised how well you can focus after that. The brain gets pumped up with all that blood, and it really kicks it up a notch. But the just having the food before you study or before you try to dig into something, like Bible studies or even classroom, like for teenagers and whatnot, It's not easy to do. And I can remember, and I could never understand how my sisters could do this when I was a kid, but I never could do it. And you see a lot of the teens do this. And I remember when I was growing up, I watched the movies, and they talked about how the teens could do this too. Listening to blaring music while they're studying. This is, how do you study and listen to that music at the same time? It's kind of like an atmosphere thing, I think, because I know what the atmosphere is all about. Even as a kid, my house, when I was growing up, and my mom always had that radio on 24/7. If not the radio, it was the TV. Something was always on at all times. That's why there's those two songs. Every time I hear these two songs from the 1960s, it reminds me of that first time I was in an F5 tornado. Because those two songs were playing on the radio when we were running to get underneath the house when that wall of wind was heading towards us. I was amazed that the power hadn't gone out yet, but because we were on the opposite side of where the power was being fed, so if we were going to get a direct hit, then yeah, we would lose power. But, you know, we were on the other end of getting the power. So obviously that radio, it was Red Rubber Ball and Up, Up and Away in My Beautiful Balloon. Those two songs, every time I hear them, I think of being underneath the house praying the Lord's Prayer with my mom and 10 siblings, and one of my sister's girlfriends came over. And she was down there, along with a family dog. Yes, you know, we all jumped down underneath the house. And we were just in a crawl space, so we, like, if we would have had a direct hit, we would have gotten sucked up anyway. It wouldn't have made any difference. But as a little kid, 12, you didn't really care. You just didn't want to be up there where all the noise was. So finishing, she says, those who eat flesh are but eating grains and vegetables at second hand, for the animal receives from these things the nutrition that produces growth. So there you have it. A lot of people seem to think you got to eat, the meat eaters to get the protein. And I actually had this one guy tell me, he says, well, I do. I have a vegan diet. I only eat cows, and the cows only eat, the grass. I thought, a nice try. He says, well, and then they come up with the idea that they believe that Tyrannosaurus rex was a meat eater. I says, well, first of all, look at the way his teeth are shaped. Okay. Second of all, look at the root depth. 2 inches. That's it. He bites into the back of a stegosaurus, he's losing teeth. Guaranteed. It's not going to happen. Plus, and I love this about Bog and Dr. Kyle Ball, they literally found, because they do a lot of excavation, they found a Tyrannosaurus rex skeleton. And they got one of the teeth, cut it in half. And they said that it was literally gorged to the root with chlorophyll. You don't get that from eating meat. You get that from eating chlorophyll. And some people say, well, that's because he ate only animals that ate, vegetables. Really? Cut your teeth in half. You only eat cow, right? Cows and vegetables. Your teeth are not going to be gorged with chlorophyll. So, again, she finishes by saying, the life that was in the grains and the vegetables passes into the eater. We receive it by eating the flesh. We receive it by eating the flesh of the animal. How much better to get it direct by eating the food that God provided for our use? And so, yeah, it'd be a lot better to get it that way than get it secondhand out of some big old cow. See how big. Well, the next one's kind of short. We're actually at a half an hour already, but let's just do the next one since it's short. And then she says here, it says, this one's titled, The Cause of Much Disease and Sickness. Page 229. It says, flesh was never the best food, but its use is now doubly objectionable, since disease in animals is so rapidly increasing. Those who use flesh foods little know what they are eating. Often, if they could see the animals when living and know the quality of the meat they eat, they would turn from it with loathing. People are continually eating flesh that is filled with tuberculosis and cancerous germs. Tuberculosis, cancer, and other fatal diseases are thus communicated. Now, here's something a lot of people are going to be a little bit shocked, especially if you're within my voice and you still eat meat, especially if you're eating red meat. It was upwards of 75%. And they did some research, and I put this on the site many years ago, so I'd have to really dig in deep. I got my own homegrown search engine on the site, but trying to find things with that thing because the site's over 13,000 pages now, it's impossible to search the site now, at least for me. Other than the fact that I kind of know where some stuff is. But the mad cow disease, remember what was all the rage when it first came out and everybody was all scared because it's deadly and all this other stuff? And it is. Kills humans. You eat a cow that's got mad cow disease, it's going to eventually kill you, but it could take 10 years to kill you. Now, here's the kicker. Because especially when Oprah started chiming in regards to the meat industry, and she almost ended up in a lawsuit back then because she started revealing some information back then, this is like 20 years ago maybe, 15, when she was showing how the meat industry, especially in Texas, was using the exact same beef that was coming out of the UK, and the UK was upwards of 80% infected with mad cow, but they were still giving it to the people. And here was their way around it. They weren't telling the people. That was it. I mean, they would put it in the news and say, oh, this guy had to kill all his herd off, or this guy had to... They never said it was already in all the other herds. They were just kind of trying to calm the people down by saying, okay, we found it here, we found it. No, it's everywhere. But they're acting like it's only in certain spots, but it was everywhere. Now, here's the thing. The Alzheimer's rate in the United States of America went through the roof right after the mad cow scare started to calm down. Why? Because there's no way they can kill off the mad cow disease in the cows. They couldn't stop it. Even though it's in its first and second or even third final stage in a cow when it really starts going goofy, The first and second stage is just as deadly to humans as the last stage. But you can't really tell because the animal just looks normal. They were butchering them anyway. And just like with the vaccines, the AMA knows that it could take anywhere from 1 year. It could actually take 1 month. Well, some people instantly. You get a vaccine, it can kill you. But because we're all chemical puddles, we don't all have the exact same makeup. But so let's just say from anywhere from 1 to 21 years, a vaccine can literally cause major problems for you in your life. Same thing with the mad cow. But 100% of the time, mad cow's disease is an exact duplicate to Alzheimer's. That's what it looks like. The doctors know the difference. The doctors know it's mad cow or Alzheimer's. But they are educated and told to say it's all Alzheimer's to prevent any kind of issues for the beef industry. Because there's just too many billions of dollars to make. And that's why Oprah, of all people, you know, the largest church in the world, you can actually literally call her a church with her New Age theology, she was shut down to the point where she probably got scared because you don't mess with those guys. Just like with the AMA. They make crazy money. That's why they got so much control over. I mean, think about it. They push more drugs than the cartel, but their drugs are legal. And their drugs kill many more people than the street drugs. And I got it on the web. It's on my AMA Insanity page. There's some documentation in regards to how it is the number one killer in the USA, and it's higher than combining, I think, car crashes and suicide and something else. You put all three of those together, and it still does not match how many people die due to messing around with the AMA drugs or even just regular mistakes that doctors make. It's somewhere on the AMA page. It's probably bolded if you wanted to look for it. But I think I got two or three different articles on it because it just kept coming out again and again. But let's continue on because we're getting kind of late in here. She says the liability to take disease is increased tenfold by meat eating. The animals are diseased, and by partaking of their flesh, we plant the seeds of disease in our own tissue and blood. Then, when exposed to the changes in a malarious atmosphere, these are more sensibly felt. Also, when we are exposed to prevailing epidemics and contagious diseases, the system is not in a condition to resist the disease. So then you're going to get yourself into a pandemic, right? Or an epidemic. And either way, it's going to be bad. And this is one of the reasons you see what happens with the chemtrails. And no, I'm not wearing a tinfoil hat and all this other stuff, but it has already been proven. Some people literally put, I remember this one guy filled the whole back of his pickup truck with jars of water. He lived just outside the city. And the chemtrails are flown over my area, let's say, the cornfields or soybean fields, right? And they gently waft their way towards the city so it drenches the whole city with whatever they're going to dose you with. And so he takes all these bottles of water and he brings them into a laboratory and they found everything from barium to psychotropic garbage. All sorts of weird stuff that's in these chemtrails, right? Now here's the kicker. They keep pushing a flu shot. And the flu shot has absolutely nothing to do with the flu. Because they say it's for this year's flu, but that thing, you know, it it changes, okay, let's just put it that way. But it changes every year. So you get a flu shot this year, it's useless because that is the virus, and that flu shot will kill the flu from last year. But that flu's not going to come at you this year. Mutates. That's the word, mutates. And this is why John McCain and everybody else was so hopped up about getting involved in the flu shot industry. And then I've heard stories about this, and I've seen write-ups on this, and then some of these are websites are like the UFO kind of guys and the conspiracy theories and all this other stuff. And the sad thing is a lot of these conspiracy guys, even though they call them nuts, they did their research and they got it down. But, you know, it's kind of like who's going to believe it? So it's kind of difficult to push it. But some of these guys had come up with evidence that they do these chemtrails and to dose a city. And then what they do is because everybody in the city's already got, let's say the majority of people in the city got the flu shot. They know the numbers. They do the demographic research, so they know how many people got the flu shot. And let's say just to test things out, they do a chemtrail episode. But the chemtrail episode has a specific item in it that once it reaches the lungs of a person that has another specific item in their flu shot, it'll cause a situation where that person will get sick to some extent in a certain way. And I always thought, well, that's pretty interesting because you could literally dose a city and cause a pandemic like that executive orders that Kennedy wrote, but Clinton enforced in regards to a pandemic comes, you could shut a city down. They can literally cause a pandemic in a city. They can kill you all, in fact, in the cities because everybody's congested in that way. Well, a couple, 3 years ago, everybody in the, well, everybody, I would say the majority of the people in Lafayette, Indiana, all got sick the same day, right after they got drenched in chemtrails. And so, again, I don't wear tinfoil, and I don't put this on my website, you know, because it's just like with Illuminati or Opus Dei or well, the Jesuits I like to expose because they're right up there. But this, you know, I don't go after the middleman. I don't like messing with that. I go after the monster in Rome. You know, I go after the big guy because that's he's the one causing all the problems. If I'm going to waste all my time messing with Illuminati, I'm going to ignore all these other things that are going on because Illuminati is just part of the mix. So anyway, let's finish this. She says, from the light God has given me, the prevalence of cancer and tumors is largely due to gross living on dead flesh. In many places, fish become so contaminated by the filth on which they feed as to be a cause of disease. And by the way, since Fukushima, I think it was last year, 2016, they put out documentation that every single solitary fish in the ocean is now radiated, every one of them now. So unless you're getting your fish, if you eat fish, unless you're getting it from an actual fish farm, and it's filtered water, and the water has, like, tents over it to prevent the chemtrails, then I wouldn't be eating the fish if I were you. So anyway, going on, she says, this is especially the case where the fish come in contact with the sewage of large cities. The fish that are fed on the contents of the drains may pass into distant waters and may be caught where the water is pure and fresh. Thus, when used as food, they bring disease and death on those who do not suspect the danger. And so you can see the enemy of souls involved in that respect as well as our own problems in life, like when we walk away from Christ, you know, the hedge of angels ain't there. And so the Lord would prevent, like some kind of a situation would go down. Like, for example, the one time that my wife, first baby, still in the tummy, hasn't born yet, and Fran's having some issues with the pains or something was going on and she was having issues. And they came up with this brand new fangled drug that, you know, all these young girls are getting these problems in regards to this area of or this time during pregnancy. And they gave her a specific drug to take. Well, on the way home, it was snowing and she was living in an area where we were in an area where the snow was deep. And when you plow it, it was even deeper on the edges of the parking lot. So she kind of had to hop over some stuff. Well, the pills fell out of her pocket, landing in the deep snow. She couldn't find them in the jar. She couldn't find them. She never told me because she thought I'd get upset, which I would because I was a jerk back then, but because it was expensive. And we didn't have an HMO, as they called it back then. We come to find out many years later, and I show my wife. I says, wow, look at this. And I think this we were in the 1,011-day house. I'm not sure. This was many years ago. We're Christians now, right? And my oldest, who was the baby in her womb at that time, is a 16, 17, something like that, beautiful young, you know, Pocahontas-looking girl, just the Indian thing that Fran has, beautiful girl, and she's, healthy. Everything seems normal, which it was, and it is. And they had this full-page ad, I think it was in the Sun-Times, with this beautiful young girl, 16 years old, no arms and no legs. And on the bottom it says, if any of you mothers out there have been prescribed this particular drug 16 years ago, contact us because they had a class action lawsuit going on that was causing children's arms and legs to disappear. And that was the drug that fell out of my wife's pocket and landed in the snow. So that's why I mentioned the fact that, like Sister White's talking about, this fish that's eating sewage, and then he swims out into the area of the ocean where their pure water is, and then he gets picked up and ends up on your dinner plate. No, it won't. If you're walking with the Lord or going, you know, in that direction, let's say, because the Lord had plans for us, he's going to prevent somehow, some way. That's just not going to get to you. It's just like with the guns that don't go off or the gun oil that was on my back the one time. Anyway, she goes on. She says, this is especially the case where the fish come in contact with this. Wait, I already read that. Okay. So the last thing she says, the effects of a flesh diet may not be immediately realized, you know, kind of like with the vaccines, like I was talking about with the mad cow, too. It could take anywhere from 1 to 21 years. may not immediately be realized, but this is no evidence that it is not harmful. Phew. By the way, yeah, it's just like with smoking cigarettes. It's not going to kill you the first time you take a puff. You know, it's not like cocaine. Cocaine can kill you the first time you take a snort because you're a chemical puddle. You don't know. And this is one of the reasons I didn't mess with the hard drugs when I was a teenager, because I saw some people have some bad trips, and I heard of some people that first time they tried it, they died. And I was scared, so I figured, well, to play Mr. Macho, I'm just going to say, yeah, look, I want to have kids when I get older, so I don't mess with the hard stuff. And it worked. I didn't have to do that say no to drugs thing. I just told them, I said, no, thanks. You know, I know that could follow me the rest of my life, and I don't want to have my children affected by it. So it worked. But literally, I was scared. I saw some bad stuff, you know, in my day. And so she goes, again, so this is no evidence that it is not harmful, like if it doesn't happen right away. So few can be made to believe that it is the meat they have eaten which has poisoned their blood and caused their suffering. Many die of diseases wholly due to meat eating, while the real cause is not suspected by themselves or by others. Now, think about that. Think about a lot of education that a lot of us are going to receive. Well, a lot of them, let's say, that are meat eaters and they die and they make it in, let's say they make it home to heaven. I'm thinking the first couple of days in heaven, they're going to realize, oh, wow, should have never eaten all that garbage, you know, especially when you're having that feast. And, you know, the very first feast that we're going to have in heaven and what's all spread out on the table. And there ain't a single pork chop to be seen for miles. And by the way, we'll be able to see each other as if we're just sitting across the table from each other, because, you know, at least that's what's prophesied. We'll have the ability to see that far. Anyway, hope and pray you were blessed. If you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us on this Sabbath day. And please continue to bless us on it. And keep those of us here out in the Midwest safe with these with all the snow, especially on the East Coast, where I got a couple of sons and a daughter-in-law and a little baby, little granddaughter, that are up there in the east side that already have 6 feet of snow. And so they're expecting another 10 inches. And so please keep them safe and warm. And bless everyone that's on our prayer list and everybody that's part of our church family and that are in these areas where the weather's kind of strange. And so thank you also for blessing us with faith, courage, wisdom, everything that we're going to need to make it through these coming days. And thank you so much for forgiving us and cleansing us and blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy when that day comes. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your precious Son, who is our Lord, our Savior, and King. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.